Welcome to the Productivityist Podcast. Two guests this week, a returning guest and a returning co-host, I guess. Yeah. I don't know how we can phrase this, but Patrick Rohn is back for his record-setting fourth appearance.
I know. What's up with that?
You're like my go-to.
Patrick is the only person left who wants to talk to
it's
you.
It's true.
No, but the thing is that we – like before we hang up from our last one, we schedule the next one almost all the time. Yep. So
we're like,
that's how that happens.
Yeah. And people love, I mean, the people that are listening to the show, which, you know, Schechter will say all four of them, but the show,
I would not credit four people with listening to the show. That's not fair.
So they're loving it. So they're loving our conversation. Michael Schechter is with us, you know, my former co-host with me on Mics on Mic / Workflowing, and now just, you know, surviving.
Yeah, I'm barely getting by, but I'm fine. Yes.
But we wanted to get the three of us together to talk about, and actually this is funny because this is going to air as I'm heading down to, I'll be in San Francisco. Like I'll be on a flight to San Francisco as this kind of goes live for the Dad Summit, Dad 2.0. So I was supposed to go last
week.
Yeah, it's a really cool, it's dad20summit.com.
So it's not enough to like just be a dad. You've got to be a dad 2.0.
You got to be a dad 2.0. They're having a wicked Lego party on the Friday night.
That's actually kind of awesome.
At the Lucas, it's a Lucasfilm Lego party too.
This is actually getting better by the moment.
My
interest is growing.
But so we got two fellow fathers on the podcast, but that's not why they're here. There's been in past episodes, Patrick and I've been chatting, and Schechter's been probably waiting in the wings, just wanting to say stuff,
chomping at the bit.
So
yeah,
are we going to talk about what we're drinking first before we get
into? We should. You're right. See, I'm not used to this.
Like traditions.
So Patrick, this is an old. By the way, for those of you who didn't listen to the old podcast, although I'm assuming that the three of you that are listening did. We on Mics and Workflowing, we would have a segment called "What Are You Drinking?" and it would be a beverage, normally of the alcoholic variety. Yes. That we would each have, and we're going to bring that back for this particular episode. So, Patrick, what you drinking?
Lift Bridge out of Stillwater, Minnesota, local brand. Their Farm Girl Saison, ale brewed with orange peel. It's excellent. I highly recommend it.
Is it like it's basically like a good fall winter type of beer?
Just a good old Saison. It just doesn't get too much more traditional than that. And Liftbridge is one of the 300 or 400 craft breweries that seem to have opened in the past 5 years here. Amongst them, they are pretty good.
Awesome. And Mr. Schechter, is it Steam Whistle?
It is not Steam Whistle. I have myself an Evil Twin Brewing Imperial Biscotti Break, a really good stout. It's got coffee beans kind of brewed with it. Also, they actually brew it, I believe, with biscotti. Evil Twin's a sort of a gypsy brewer, a nomadic brewer, and makes really, really wonderful beers. It's, I think, a little too cold right now, but as it warms up, I'm going to be a very happy camper.
As for me, I am drinking, appropriately enough, The Men's Room by Elysian. It's original red. Now, I only had a couple of these left from the Super Bowl party. I figured we might as well get rid of the Elysian stuff that I have before it's no longer actually Elysian stuff. There's been quite the run on the loser beer that Elysian used to make, because the slogan was because corporate beer sucks. And for those of you who don't know, Elysian was bought by Anheuser-Busch.
Oh, that's very funny. And then Anheuser-Busch proceeded to run a commercial that basically crapped all over their beer.
Exactly. So, during the Super Bowl, no
during
less.
The Super Bowl, no less.
So I figured this was an appropriate beer.
I guess the connection between InBev and Budweiser and some of their more crafty brewers are maybe there's a little church and state going on there.
Yeah, I think it was a crafty thing for them to buy those microbrewers. But I mean, Elysian, out of Seattle, great brewery. I don't know what's going to happen with their stuff. Probably keep doing the same thing, but it'll just be no longer a craft brewery. But let's dive into some of the stuff that we want to talk about, because this episode is going to be a little bit longer than the usual half hour. I have a feeling.
Because I'm wordy. And I mean, honestly, your beer, you know, Vardy, when we did the podcast together, you were always like king of the cheesy sort of, what's the word I'm looking for? The lead-ins, the, yep. the segues. That's the word I'm looking for. And see, I haven't podcasted in a while. My vocabulary is very rusty. But, you know, I wanted to touch base on sort of that corporate versus indie thing. There, you know, the beauty of podcasting is you can kind of listen and then, you know, yell at the people who are podcasting, you know, much to the confusion of people around you when you're on the subway. Mm-hmm. But the benefit of knowing you guys is when I want to yell, I can actually go, hey guys, can we get together so I can yell? And you're crazy enough to let me do that.
Yeah,
but
sure. Let's yell. One, so two, three. Ah!
Sorry, listeners. But, you know, it's one of those things where I was listening to you guys talk, particularly about the education stuff on not the last podcast, but two podcasts ago. Vardy will put it in the show notes. He's very diligent. And it really was something I was like, okay, I just need to talk, especially to Patrick, about this stuff. Because you and I think when it came to school, when I was hearing you talk about school, a lot of similarity, although I'm less intelligent than you. I was equally bored, but I was bored because I didn't want to read the book, not because I had already read four books just like it. And I definitely, for a long time in life, had that desire to like, well, look, if I have a better way to do it and I want to, you know, read the book I want to read, and I was that guy, like, I don't want to read, you know, Art of War. I want to read On the Road, and I'm going to just read On the Road. You know, it had massive negative consequences for me. And it's one of those things where, you know, you were really saying like, okay, you know, if I want to have this education, I want to do this education on my own, I should have been able to do that. And this is – I don't know what grade that was. I don't know what particular teacher it was, which would obviously play a big role in the particular story. But I thought the idea of like, no matter what you're doing, be it you're indie, be it you're in school, be it, you know, you work in a corporation like I do, there are certain things that you just have to do. There are have-to-dos in it. And I've always fought against the have-to-do stuff. And as I've gotten older, and especially now that I'm working, you know, in a pretty big corporation, there's a fair amount of have-to-dos that I've had to get better at. And I wonder, like, even going all the way back to school, like, is it a good thing to let somebody have that much flexibility to not – prepare them for the aspects of the world where it's like, yeah, I understand that you're really bored. I understand that that's the thing that you don't want to do, but you're just going to have to get to do it. And I know I just dumped a lot on that, but I kind of wanted to frame it before we dove in.
Okay. Well, I mean, sure, there are going to be those things that you quote unquote have to do. I'm just going to leave that there because, as you know, I'm not one of those people that believes that, you know, everything. I believe that everything is a choice, and there are those things that you choose to do, not necessarily because you want to do them, but because you feel compelled to do them. Okay, sure, there are those things. I think my larger point was that we run a great risk when we treat everyone as and equals, but when we decide that, okay, everybody learns exactly the same way. Everybody, you know, processes things exactly the same way, right? And especially in those areas, those things that are subjective, you know, versus objective, you know, I think there's this push and this need to want to standardize that some way, to create some sort of benchmark. And, you know, I get why education has to work that way to a certain point. And I get why some things, you know, can fall into that category. I mean, come on, you can't argue with 2 + 2 = 4, right? You know, that's it just is, right? You know, but, you know, especially in the liberal arts, you know, art and, you know, writing and reading and the humanities, you know, and that sort of thing.
Even conventional business.
Yeah, well, and in,
you know, at this point, that's been turned on its ear too.
Right, exactly. You know, I think that there's, you know, a million shades of gray And to try to standardize that in some way or set some sort of benchmark is rife with problems.
It definitely is. But on the flip side of that, too, you know, my wife's an English teacher, an eighth grade English teacher. You know, was humanities, now it's – I never know if it's humanities or English. But, you know, she teaches one of those. We've been married 9+ years. I should know this. But, you know – it is very different than when, you know, I was in school, where everyone in the class would read one book. You'd talk about that one book. And I think there's actually a lot of benefit to that. I think now, you know, it is more of an open library. You need to make sure you get your reading time in. It is more about getting students excited about books. But it is also really, really difficult to scale. I mean, especially from the standpoint of a teacher. I mean, you know, my wife is expected to know so many more books than I think the average teacher would have. You know, and she's teaching two classes of 30 kids. It's 60 kids. Obviously, the kids are learning at different levels. Obviously, you need to, you know, really work in and make sure that you're giving everyone the nurture they can. But it's also really, really difficult to say, let's have one teacher managing 60 different processes at the same time. And that to me is, you know, sort of the thing that catches my interest is that difference between, okay, yeah, this part of it needs to be standardized. This part of it has to be done. And this part of it is where you want to be done. And I think I was really lucky on that front where – very early on, I had a couple of English teachers who realized, like, I was going to be that pain in the rear who, if I didn't like the homework, I wasn't going to do it.
And, yeah, that was me.
And I think you're a little different than me. I think in that case, your chaos, I think you and I are both somewhat chaotic creatures. I think your chaos tends to produce more. So, like, if you were saying, you know what, screw it, I'm going to go do my own thing, you're going to go make something. Where if I said, screw it, I'm not going to do it, I was going to go slack off. And, you know, I think that's the big difference for me. And that's the kind of the one where I was like, no, I think you got to preach caution here. It's okay, what did you do when you decided not to do what everyone else was doing? Did you go and make something? Did you go and do something? Or did you go down a really, really bad path? Sorry, go ahead.
No, finish your point. I have a verbiage thing I want to get to, but go ahead.
Yeah, and to me, I had those teachers who were like, look, you're clearly not going to want to read Pride and Prejudice, but go read On the Road. You know, fall in love with literature, but also understand that there are certain things in life that you're going to do the things that you want to do. And I agree with you. It's always a choice, you know, to circle back to that, because you and I have definitely talked the choice thing. I 100% agree with you. But I also believe that there are a lot of things that I wouldn't want to do that I have to do to accomplish what I've chosen to do.
So here's my question. And you keep throwing the word have out there. Have to. And when I hear the word, you know, and this is related for sure. When I hear the, you know, I have to do this, I rebel immediately. Because it's like, it's almost like that's the beginning and the end of the conversation. Why do you have, we have to? But need to changes the conversation for me a little bit. When you need to study Pride and Prejudice because there are certain elements that are this. But when you have to, it's almost the benefits aren't as apparent, right? Like they're almost too focused on the connotation of, well, if I have to, we'll forget that noise. But need is almost like, if you do this, this is a need. This is something you need to do. Because then to me, I think, makes a world of difference. Because I know that my daughter, who's in a 4-5 split class right now, I mean, when she hears, you know, well, you have to read this, immediately there's a wall that goes up. But when you say, well, you need to read this because it will teach you about this, or it talks about this, or whatever, it changes the conversation of it. I want to hear your thoughts on that, guys.
So coming from more of the corporate side and maybe to take it away from kids in school and bring it more to like the things I do every day, because I can talk to it with more authority, I think. Here's the thing. I see what you're saying. And I agree that there should never be a have to that you're stuck with for forever. But I think if you leave the lens at need every day in and out, there are things that should have already been decided and been automated that you're going to drive yourself crazy with. And I think saying this is the way we have to do it, but also then leaving room to regularly assess how you have to do things is, at least for me, when you have so many things that you're doing, a better way to go about it. Because
so you need the cut and dry. Like, you don't, it's basically the be all, like, to me, that still just sounds like it's, this is how it has to be done. You're like, I mean, it ends the conversation. So you need that.
But honestly, I'll be honest, on a Wednesday when a package needs to go out, I'd like it to be that way. But on Friday, after the packages have gone out, can we have a quick conversation about how the packages go out? I think it's a much better way to approach it. Mm. And look, I come from a much – this isn't to say like what I do is far more important. I come from a world of larger scale. I come from a world where, you know, 10,000 packages could go through a door in a day. 90,000 units can go in one shipment. And when you're trying to get to that level, you have to have a level of things that are decided. And that doesn't mean that anything is written in permanent marker. But it does mean that in the middle of the afternoon, it's not a good time to argue about the process. And that's maybe just the distinction is when I think about have to, I don't see it with the level of permanence that I think you do. I think this is how you have to do it because that's how we've decided today. And Vardy, I know you're scaling your business right now. And if everything was a combination, a conversation about how to scale, what do we do this? How do we do that? And there's a lot of those. But if it was everything every day, you would go insane and you wouldn't get anything done. Eventually you have to go, this is the way I'm going to do it. And you know what? Let's have a weekly meeting or a monthly meeting or a quarterly meeting, depending upon what makes sense, to say what's driving us crazy and fix that. I mean, I don't know. Maybe I'm off base. But that was the part of it where I agree with everything's a choice. I really do. I believe it in my bones. But I also believe there's a lot of things I probably wouldn't choose to do. But that I kind of want to do or need to do or have to do, whatever you want to call it, in the service of the thing that I believe in. Mm-hmm. Especially as you get bigger, especially as you grow, you know, I mean, especially as you go beyond yourself. I mean, the truth of the matter is, you know, I'm not just making decisions for me that I have total control over. I have people that, and this will be an interesting one later on, that I work for, that I work with, that work with me. You know, there's so many different levels of that it's really hard to constantly be assessing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, decisions need to be made quickly, and there's a lot more variables to take into account. And that happened when I worked at Costco too. You couldn't sit and assess and assess and assess. You had to literally take action.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
which is why I got out of it.
Yeah, I tell you, and it was funny you say that because I'm sitting here, I'm thinking to myself, yet another reason why I'm so glad I work for me. Mm-hmm. Because I don't have to worry about these things.
You know what? I can't work for anybody anymore at this point.
I'm unemployable at this point. Yes.
Yeah, and it's funny. I've surprisingly come to find myself employable. And it's not that I don't have the desire sometimes to have that freedom that you guys have. It's just I also enjoy a lot of the benefits of the other side of, man, you know, Vardy, if you want to do something massive, you know how much infrastructure you'd have to build and how much you have to scale up. Whereas I have the advantage of, you know, we're over 3,000 people at our company. We have tons of different specialties, tons of different expertises, tons of platforms and processes that already exist that could be plugged into something. And don't get me wrong, sometimes the headaches make me want to bash my head against a desk, but the possibilities of that day in, day out are worth that balance to me. Right. And I think, you know, you go all the way back to the version of me who was a kid who, if I didn't want to do the homework and I wouldn't do it, I carried a lot of that into my early career. And it really held me back because I didn't have a healthy relationship with the fact that based on the choices I made, there were things that I was going to have to do. And I would imagine if I really asked both of you, you've made very clear choices about what you want to do, but there's also probably a fair amount of have to. I would imagine neither one of you particularly enjoys paying your taxes, even if you significantly enjoy what you're paying your taxes for now.
Who says I pay my taxes? No, I'm just kidding.
It's a fair point. Who said Vardy made any money?
Now that I'm incorporated, I don't.
Well, I mean, yeah, that's the yeah, exactly. I mean, I get a paycheck from the S Corp that my wife and I own. Yep. Right. Yeah. There's a, and so, well, yeah, we pay our taxes, I suppose, on our joint stuff, but so much of our, yeah, it gets crazy complicated once you have a business of your own. And that's the thing, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. With great freedom comes great responsibility.
Yeah, right? Absolutely.
And that's the thing that I think, you know, I think that there's a whole host of people that not only wouldn't want the quote unquote freedom that we have, but wouldn't, you know, but it would want the freedom without, but
They want to get to where you are now without having to do everything you did to get there.
Well, but also all the things I have to do to maintain it.
Yeah.
I mean, the thing is that, you know, in order to be a business of one or even a business of two, if it's like you and your wife or whatever, but, you know, is that you have to be good at all of the things involved with the actual day-to-day running of a business, and you have to be good at that thing that's actually bringing in the money for the business.
And then when you decide that you've grown enough that you need to offload some of the stuff that you're able to do, letting go of that stuff is also a challenge. So you could say, hey, you know what I mean? So then that scale.
And then managing the people, exactly. The things that you, because that stuff doesn't, you can't completely let go of it because mm-hmm. it's part of your business, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, it's, yeah. I mean, don't even get me started on how much time I spend every week on just the administration of business tasks.
That Paul Graham post, Makers and Managers thing, that essay mm-hmm. he wrote, gets more and more prevalent every day as you grow your business. Like, it just does, because you look at it and you're like, okay, I'm a maker and a manager. I need to be able to – and Scott Belsky's book, Making Ideas Happen, is another
one. Oh, yeah. That's great.
You know, because it does – it's one of those ones where you're like, okay, I need to be in this mode. I need to be in this mode. You have to be able to do that because like you said, Shaq, I mean, you've got people in your business where you're like, I need to get this done. Who's in charge of this area? I know I can hand this off, and they specialize in that. Initially, in the phases that we're in,
I kill for that. In some, it's like, seriously,
exactly.
Yeah, the truth of the matter is you're like, don't get me wrong. I trade off way more freedom than you guys have, but I have the benefit of a massive infrastructure
and security.
But take security out of it for a second, mm-hmm. because that's.
But security. No, I'm not just talking.
That's
security.
Huge.
I'm not talking about the security of like the job, but security of the fact, like, maybe comfort and security, like to know that if something wasn't going to happen, you'd be able to go, okay, well, I can go to this person or that person. So that level of security. Yeah, as well.
But on the flip side, there's the other security of if they're not happy with me tomorrow, they could throw me out or they could shut down our division. I mean, we have friends who right now are going through that very situation. Yes. You know, it's all a trade-off. But at the end of the day, it's just one of those ones where I think it is very easy to say, oh, you made these choices and all these things you have to do. But I think even in what you guys do, especially as you – I think you're both at that level where it probably is getting close to growing beyond you and your significant other. Mm-hmm. Vardy, I know you're actively doing that. Yeah. Patrick, you and I don't, you know, necessarily chat this much about the inside of businesses, but like, I'd imagine the scale of what you do could probably use help from other humans.
Well, and luckily, the scale of what I do gets help from other humans, mainly my wife, mm-hmm. who handles most of the bookkeeping, you know, kind of side of the business.
Same with my wife. And this is where it gets to the point where, which actually is a nice transition to the whole, like, the yes, no thing, because then you get to the point where you're like, what am I willing to do versus what am I not willing to do in terms of growth, scale, all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Patrick, you're working on your book. You're working on that book right now. And you're like, you're turning everything else away. And you could,
actually, no, that's the problem. And the problem is I haven't been turning. Well, I mean, I've been turning some things away,
but you need them. Yep.
But it just so happens that this ended up being a particularly busy time of the year mm-hmm. for a couple of my clients who took advantage of year-end money that was available for technology purposes, and they wanted to take advantage of those of the tax savings involved in buying it in December versus, you know, buying it in January.
I got a swath of coaching calls near the end of the year, like at that time, this time of year too, that I didn't.
Right, exactly. And I've got two clients that literally replaced every Mac they had.
Wow.
And other infrastructure things. You know, one has this AV system that they purchased, like, you know, unbelievably expensive AV system that, you know, of course the AV guys, it keeps crashing. You know, and the AV guys are blaming it on the Mac Mini, of course. And I'm like, you mean your AV system can't handle, I don't know, a simple HDMI output? I mean, this is not like, get some sort of encryption. Show me the documentation for that, please. Oh, don't even get me started.
But given the choice,
PC weenies.
Given the choice, you'd just rather be writing your book right now.
I would rather be writing my book and not arguing with effing AV guys who are PC fanboys.
But Patrick, what do you tell us how you really feel?
Okay, but hold on.
And it's taking up a lot of time.
Yeah.
Isn't this the grown-up version of having to read the book in class?
Well, yes, this is.
But
and the truth is that
that's where the have turns into the need, right? Like, Patrick, you don't – I mean, if you change it to the word need, then it changes the conversation where it's like, have to. It's you know what I mean? It changes it, I think.
Well, and you know, I mean, here's the thing, right? This is definitely an area that is my choice. I could very easily say, look, I've done my job. My stuff works. Theirs doesn't. They have to figure this out for you. And I've said what I've had to say and I'm done with it, right? Mm-hmm. And I, to be honest with you, the client would completely get that, right? I mean, this is not a client that I have like some, you know, it's not like some brand new client. I have a very long-standing relationship with them. And they, you know, it's not like I wouldn't get their business again. They'd be, you know, they wouldn't count it as my fault. They too see it as the problem with the system that they bought. You know, so the fact is that I could walk away from this at any time I chose to, but I'm choosing not to. And the reason I'm choosing not to is because, well, I'm a nice guy, you know, that for me, the reason I do that to begin with is not the money is nice. Don't get me wrong, but I genuinely like to help people. And I mean, it's not just like about, you know, the titles of books I write. I mean, I really enjoy doing that. And I wouldn't be able to sleep with myself at night if I were to just write this off and not lend them a hand in trying to get this figured out and not be a part of the solution. And I also would, it's fun for me. I mean, it really is. I do have a good time, proving idiots wrong. I have a good time solving problems is what I have a good time doing. Yes, that's what I meant to say. But this is certainly a case where I am making a choice. The difference, I think, being is that I don't have some boss saying, no, you got to do this.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you do. It's yourself.
Yeah, well, it's myself. Yeah.
But the truth of the matter is I have a boss who will definitely say, you know, go do this from time to time. But I also have the benefit of I've chosen to be in a place where I do have bosses. They do have priorities. Those priorities don't always match mine exactly, and sometimes I have to make changes against that. But I also have a level of autonomy, and I would tell you it's probably – it plays out very differently, but it sounds like a very similar level of autonomy to what you have with your clients, that at the end of the day, you did make a choice to work with them. You do want to do your job with a level of pride. You want to go home. You want to feel good about what you did at the end of the day. And you know you're doing it for them. I'm sure there have been decisions your clients made that you didn't necessarily agree with that at the end of the day, you service them. And
buying a just shy of $20,000 AV system being one of them, but yeah.
Yeah, 100%. But it is one of those things where I do think that whether you're independent or whether you're corporate, that's always going to be part of the reality. You're always going to have to do that fair share of homework, and getting good at being able to do that and not be miserable, you know, not losing your mind when you're having to do something that you don't want to do. And I'm not saying you do. I think that is something common that I see amongst people that I know that I work with, where it's like, oh man, there's all the stuff I really want to do and there's all the stuff I can't that's in the way of me doing it. Some of it, you're right. Some of it is really looking at it and going, okay, I need to stop doing this. I need to stop doing that. The other part of it is sometimes going, like you said, December is when they get these tax breaks. I'm going to be getting a lot of these things. It's going to be a hectic time, but I'm going to get through that time so that I can keep serving what I want to do. And that's why, like, Vardy, the have to, need to, you know me, I'm not so precious with the words. It's more about how you internalize it. But whatever it is, it's like, okay, I've just got to get through that season, and I know maybe I'm not going to achieve everything I wanted, but long term, I'm getting where I want to go. And I think for me, at least, you know, being on the corporate side, especially being in a large corporation, like, you can't turn the Titanic around on a dime. It takes time to make change. It takes time to make decisions, and that can be insanely frustrating, but it can also be wildly fulfilling when you do get something where you want it to go, or you do make that progress. You know, I don't know. They both have their ups and downs, and when I heard you guys talking about it, it felt a little binary to me, so I just wanted to jump in and yell.
You know what? I figured this out as we're talking about this. When I look at my calendar, I see the things that I both have to do and want to do on it. If I started throwing everything that I have to do or need to do on my calendar, I would hate my calendar a whole lot more, which is why I don't use the calendar for my tasks. As we segue into another discussion.
No, I'm not even going to.
I think we've already
worn that. No, I know. That's a well-worn
Now, Mike's paying me back for all the times I've gotten these little digs in over the times I've been on the show.
Or on Twitter. Like the occasional, like.
Twitter. the trolling I do to him on Twitter.
Look at what
Twitter,
Cal Newport said. Look at what this.
I'm so excited. I get to do this to you guys, and I never get to do this to anybody. I got a notebook, and I get to talk to you guys about
what?
It. Oh,
what?
I got a notebook.
Oh,
I
got
the. Did you have to get it, or did you want to get it?
Well, I wanted. You know, I've been a big Dave Say emergent task planner. I was very, very excited about the World Dominator that came out from the guys at New Year
You got yours. I haven't got mine yet.
I got mine this week, and I have started using it. I really, really like it.
World properly dominated now?
I'm a fan of things that help me dominate my world. You know, my head is pulled in a million places, and I've always looked at the ETP as something that helped me kind of pull it together. And my role has grown and I need to think in terms of weeks more than in terms of days, it's been a nice shift for me. I didn't love some of the weak stuff I've seen out there. I think it's a very interesting one and a very flexible one. So I was like, oh, I get to talk to notebook guys about having a notebook.
What color did you get?
I just got the black one but there's one change I hope they make to it. It's a 7-day calendar right now, and like they have this great section on the side for kind of keeping your week in view, and it's fantastic Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, but kind of a pain when it's Wednesday and Thursday and Friday.
Yeah,
but other than that, it's insanely useful to me. So you know, talking to the idea, because Patrick, I think you and I have talked about this. Like, I fundamentally agree you need to carve things out. I just do it on a smaller horizon. I do it in the morning when I get to work. But yeah. I agree with you. My day is planned or my day is not productive. Yeah. And this does a wonderful job of doing that.
Oh, gosh. So our good friends on the Pin Addict podcast, Mike and Brad, were doing an all feedback episode last episode as we record this. Vardy, you can find it and link to it in the show notes.
Will do.
What was neat was they had all sorts of people following up with them about, like, if they have multiple notebooks, and if so, what they use them for or what have you. And one of the people wrote in and said that one of his notebooks was for, it might have been her, I'm not sure, can't remember, at the beginning of the day, she writes down, you know, not just even though they're on a digital calendar, she writes down her or his, I forget, appointments for the day and, you know, tasks for the day, kind of when she, you know, expects to be able to do them within those appointments or whatever, right?
That's hands down what I do every morning, and it changed my life.
There you go. And guess what? Now you have subscribed to, you know, even if you're not necessarily doing it, a week in advance or 3 days in advance or, you know, months in advance, you at least at the beginning of the day are doing the only thing I'm saying about that subject, which is when. Ask when. Look down that list and ask when. And if the win isn't to, if you can't answer that now, you know, park it, that's fine. But just keep in mind that task is not really part of the plan until you've answered that question. Even if you answer that question and say, now, I'm going to do it now. I'm going to look at my list and pick one and do it now. Well, you picked one and you answered that question successfully.
One of the things I've been kind of going through my head lately is the whole idea of planning your day versus mapping out your day. And it's one I've been kind of contemplating because I've had a lot of people say, I plan my day, but nothing goes to plan. I'm like, well, most things, you know, don't go to plan in general. You have a general plan and then it has to alter. I'm starting to plan. I think the way I start to deal with my days now is I tend to map them out. I know the destination. I know what I want the end of the day to look like. and whether it means plowing through, you know, and there's multiple ways, like on a map. If there's a destination, you know, if you're trying to get to New York City, there's, you know, any road will take you there. It's just a matter of which road you take, right? You could speed through on the interstates until you get to traffic, I guess. But, you know, or you could take the nice scenic route, whatever. And I think what I'm finding is when I'm, looking at my day, if I know I need to burn through a lot of stuff, I will look at, that's how I'll map out my day. And so I'll do a lot of, tasks that will allow me to do that. And then if I have, more time, a creative day, then it's more of a scenic route. So I'm kind of getting out of the plan is, I think, great for longer term stuff, like month, year, that kind of stuff. But when it comes to when it comes to the day, I mean, to have a destination to say, this is what I want my day to look like. Like when I wrap up my day, I want to make sure I get to here. I think that is key, because a lot of people, when they plan their day out and they literally go through their day at the end, whether they do what you guys are talking about or some other way, a lot of people go, oh, didn't get that done. I'll just push it to the next day, push it to the next day. And they never get to their destination. Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But I'll play the role of me, as I normally do on the podcast we used to have, and say, I hear you, but I don't know that there's really a difference. I mean, at the end of the day, mapping from one place to another means I had an initial destination and an end destination, and that pretty much there's three or four different linear routes I could take to get there. Where this really is, I mean, especially as I'm sure we all do, we have jobs with totally different, completely unrelated tasks. Like, I need to go to the dry cleaning place and I need to go to the supermarket. It really is more just, no matter what you want to call it, no matter what you use, whether you put it on a calendar or not, you need to be realistic that there's going to need to be a measure of flexibility. That sometimes you, no matter what, it was a map or a plan, you were going to go to the dry cleaner first and then the supermarket second. But you know what? You need to make lunch for your kids. You're going to go to the supermarket first, get lunch done, and then go to the dry cleaner later. And I think it's the ability to know this is what reasonably fits in a day. There's probably going to be one to two wrecking balls that come in that knock something off and knock it to tomorrow. Hopefully I won't keep knocking the same thing for too long. And if I am knocking the same thing day after day after day, how important to me is it really? Mm-hmm. But then just really going, okay, am I still giving myself enough structure to get as much as I want to accomplish and as much as I think I can accomplish in a day done? Because you look at that paper planner for me, whether it was the ETP or whether it's now the world dominator or the day dominator or the week dominator, you'll see arrows moving things from two to four back to two. You know, that happens. That's a part of reality. That's part of being a grown-up, is you need to be able to be flexible. You don't have it's not like, bring it all the way back to the beginning. You're not in class with a clear schedule of where your day is going to go. You have a sense of it, you hope, but you also remain open to the fact that man plans, God laughs, and kid cry.
Mm-hmm. And that's, I think that's a great way to wrap up, because you brought it back to the beginning. So you haven't been, you're not
you
that.
You did. You're a pro.
You're not that rusty.
I love talking in circles. It's my skill in life.
Awesome. Patrick, when you're not hanging out with me, what it seems like, and we're going to have to schedule our next talk as soon as we're done here.
Of course.
Where can people find you?
PatrickRone.net, PatrickRone.net is the easiest place to get to me at all the other places I really am.
Awesome. And Schechter, you're occasionally writing at Better Mess still, right?
Yeah. We can talk about it offline, or maybe talk about it on another episode. I'm having trouble figuring out what the heck to do with Better Mess.
Make it a better mess?
Yeah. It's one of those.
The irony.
It's one of those ones where I love writing the site, but I'm also not exactly sure how much I want to go through the rest of my career having this giant thing out there that professes me as a mess. It's very confusing. I am still there. I am still occasionally writing, and hopefully now that the child is actually sleeping, I will have a little bit more time in my life.
Awesome. And then we can do more of these, because now that you're getting some sleep, and you've got a fancy new mic too. So
I have a fancy new mic, and honestly it was like, okay, my old mic crapped out. I'm going to get a new one. And I want to get back in the chair.
Yeah. So you got a nice night, Mike?
Oh, yeah. I had a nice little talk with Dan Benjamin. I figured out what I needed, because I've got the problem of I wanted good sound, but I also live in Brooklyn and need to pack away the mic every night. And I'll give you I'll do a quick write-up on Better Mess about the new rig, because I really like it. It's nice.
And you sound much better than you did
before. Yeah, I finally switched to I always get the
XLR?
No. Condenser versus dynamic, which is the one where it gets less, where it's really, you have to like be right up close to the mic.
I think it's a condenser.
I think it's dynamic.
I don't know.
Okay,
I got a Yeti Pro. That's all that matters.
We obviously know a ton about podcasting, but you know, considering I live under a flight path for JFK and LaGuardia, this was a good plan.
Probably a good plan. Speaking of plans, I hope everyone that's listening right now plans to listen to the next episode, go through the back catalog. We're going to make a few changes to the podcast come March. Those who are in the Patreon community will hear about those first and foremost. So if you want to contribute to the podcast.
What about those of us who won't pay you anything?
Well, you're going to have to wait. But those who are Patreon supporters, head to patreon.com/productivityist and you'll be able to contribute. There's perks across the board from $1 all the way to $50 a month. And again, you can find the podcast in iTunes. And of course, the Productivityist website is where you can find me and all the gang that are helping out with Productivityist, because as we were talking about, this thing is growing. I will see all of you next week. Thanks so much for tuning in. And have a very productive week.